This is Warbird Radio.
On this episode of Warbird Radio, we're talking to the greatest Taylorcraft demonstration pilot of all time, also the best Zero demonstration pilot of all time. The list just goes on and on and on. And he's joined by a good friend of his who has a bunch of really cool Warbirds. We're talking today to Warren Peach and to Bruce. Bruce Eames, welcome to Warbird Radio, gentlemen. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. It's awesome to be here.
We're at the National Warbird Operators Conference in Dallas, Texas, NWOC 501c3, devoted to really preserving the operation of these really just incredible national treasures.
And well, I got to tell you, Matt, that talk we just got from Lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Lackadoo.
Lucky Lackadoo, yeah.
And,
unreal.
And how much he appreciates what this industry is doing to continue the deal was, like Bruce said, got goosebumps about every 2 minutes while we were talking to him. And what an awesome individual and, you know, what a story.
Yeah, talk about a national treasure. He's a national treasure.
He is.
Yeah.
I saw you get a picture with him, Bruce.
Yeah. Very special.
He came on, and he was right after he gave the talk, he came over and sat down with us for a few minutes. And I couldn't help but think, you know, in fact, Brad Pilgrim and I were talking about this right after he left. Those days are just, it's just a little bit left. Yeah. And to think of all the time that we've spent in the back of hangars with those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and you too, but I started in 1992 when we bought our first TBM. And I started going around to air shows, and they were young. People.
Yeah, they were.
They were very coherent, but they hadn't told their story yet. So I was lucky enough to be in that original group of guys that were out to air shows talking to these guys as they were retiring and getting to hear their stories before their families ever heard them. And it's been an awesome, awesome adventure. And Bruce has been, you know, involved with it now for 12 years. Well, more than that, 14 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had a chance to do a lot of those interactions. And I think that's what keeps people like us wanting to be involved in this whole thing is that message and those things.
Well, but I remember back in the 90s and early 2000s still going, you know, to the air shows and going to the autograph tents. And you'd have Tex Hill sitting there.
Yeah.
Or you'd have guys from the Memphis Belle sitting there. You'd have guys from you know, they've been flying Corsairs in the Pacific sitting there. And, you know, you just kind of took it for granted back then. You know, just realize what incredible.
And it's our job now to do that same thing to the next group.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And keep it going.
I got to bring this up because it goes with what I wanted to talk to you about, Bruce, and that's a gorgeous P-47. One of the coolest stories we ever got to do on Warbird Radio was years ago, and Warren over here helped orchestrate it. We surprised the Stackler brothers, and little Herbie was a P-47 pilot. Herbie had no idea that his brother had survived the war. He was a gunner on B-25s. His brother got shot down the first mission. Neither of them knew if they survived the war. And here we are. We're up at, I think it was the Raiders reunion, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was.
We were in Urbana, but it was a do lower.
Over in Urbana. Yeah. And we got old Herbie out there, and we got his brother out there. And you were a big part of that, I think. Was that your B-25? I can't remember whose it was.
It was Texas Flying
Legends. Yeah, it was back in the Flying Legends days.
Yeah. But
he had an airplane involved in it. And
Well, Warren surprised him.
Yeah.
He surprised Herbie. We got his brother loaded up in the B-25, and Warren surprises Herbie, and he says, well, would you go in a Mustang? And I do think Herbie thought about it for about 3 seconds, and he goes, well, am I going to have to sit in your lap? Or what? Which Casey Odegaard just lit up. But
yeah.
Yeah, those days are they're getting to be few and far between.
Well, listen, a good story about that event was the night before, because we were all at all the B-25 crews and stuff were having a hangar party the night before the flyover and everything. And I'm standing in line at to get my plate of barbecue and a beer and some of these guys standing in front of me. There's a short guy in front of me wearing this incredible AVG Flying Tigers bomber jacket.
Mm.
And it just was, you know, I tapped the guy on the shoulder, where'd you get that jacket? And the guy turns around, he says, I was issued it.
Yeah.
He had been a Flying Tiger.
Wow.
And he was just I say, those days are going, we pulled him over to our table and said, you got to sit down and talk to us. Yeah.
Talk to me about Bonnie, because Herb, every time I see your airplane, I think, oh gosh, Herb would just, he'd have loved this.
Yeah.
I mean, Talk to me about that process of finding it, and then here we are today.
Well, you know, Warren Peach and Eric Hokoff and I, we flew to Australia and landed in Sydney and went up the coast of Wollongong to meet with Rob Greinert, who had pulled it out of the jungle in Papua New Guinea, where it had been sitting in front of a schoolhouse that it had gotten salvaged. And anyway, they talked me into the idea that this thing actually could be brought back to life. And
I think that was 2012.
Yeah, 2012. And we had it put in shipping containers and brought back up to Bemidji to Air Corps Aviation. And they spent 10 years putting that thing back together.
Wow.
And did a phenomenal job.
Oh, it's a gorgeous restoration.
Oh, it's striking. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it won the award at Oshkosh, you know, just like Lopes Hope did and stuff. And again, hats off to Air Corps.
You know, it's becoming a tradition with the two of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Well, the important thing about the planes that we do restore and stuff, and Bonnie's a good example of it, is that it's really important to us to tie those planes to the people that flew them, maintained them, and their families. That so we really try to get them involved in the restoration and coming to Oshkosh, and we show them off and things. And in the case of Bonnie, you know, we wanted to put it in that livery. And Chuck Cravens, who's the in-house historian at Air Corps Aviation, did all the research and really did identify that plane most likely was flown at one point by
Dunham,
and was in that squadron, so it really fit right in, and there in the Pacific, and so we were really happy to get his family involved and have them be a part of the story of the plane.
I think that's
yeah, the daughters being there and stuff, and they still email me, they still follow, they ask where the airplane's going to be so they can be involved in it and stuff. And again, you know, the actual veterans may be getting a lot thinner, but their families, you know, their children and grandchildren are still around to involve some of that stuff.
And that's the thing about these planes is that, you know, for us, you know, we grew up loving these things and everything, but for the rest of the public, you know, they're symbols of something. And so it's really great to have people connected to that and start having people really appreciate that there were, these just aren't machines. They're actually, you know, like today, you know, here in Lucky Luckadoo. It wasn't just about the B-17. It was about people. What he and his crew, what those guys went through back then.
Yeah,
I
love his line.
Share that.
I am an example.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am an example. And I thought, we are. I mean.
What a gracious individual and a giving individual he really is, you know. A quick story about the Stackler boys when we did that day. And I think you probably remember this, but Robert talked about how he got cheated out of his combat pay and his drink. Because he got shot down and spent a couple of days on the side hill in Burma and all that stuff. Yep. And so while we were out flying, and I had the best seat in the house. I was in the P-40, so I got to fly wing on KC with Herb in there. And Herb saw Robert sitting in the waist gun of the B-25 and held his fingers up for victory and pumped his arm, and Robert pumped his arm back. And I'm watching this whole thing just from the wing off the wing of the deal and stuff. But before we took off, I assigned Alan Miller's dad to go get a bottle of whiskey and a couple of glasses because we were going to get them boys their mission drink at the end of it. And so we all gathered up and they poured a shot in each glass, and those two brothers touched those glasses, and I swear they looked at each other for about 30 seconds, and it was like watching two whole lifetimes pass between two brothers that went, hey, we did it. You know, we're here. And they got that. And I just I have a picture in my house that's formation with those two guys in there, and it's all stacked up, and it's a great memory. It really is.
It's one of the best, and it's the reason we got started in this. We were really fortunate on that to have Robert Seal, who was a cover photographer for Sports Illustrated and Smithsonian. Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on, his credentials. But Robert graciously went along and did all of the photos for that story that we did out there, and it was a great story.
Yep.
I want to ask a question, and Warren, your background has been pretty public. I mean, we all know yours. The big disconnect, and the question I get most, never in public, it's always in quiet settings, is what did they do to be able to be at this level of success? And Bruce, I'll just talk to you about that, because there's a lot of young folks that they want to get on the other side of the fence. They want to get involved in this, but you really have to be incredibly successful in something else before you can go out and buy multiple Mustangs and P-47s. What did you do that got you in this position?
Well, I'm of the age where I and all my friends, and I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in a blue-collar working-class town where everybody was first or second generation off the farms and stuff like this, and all our fathers had been in World War II. So I grew up with the stories and building the airplane models and all this stuff, and loved going out to the airport, Austin Straubel Field outside of Green Bay, and watching the North Central Airlines land their DC-3s there, and then eventually, you know, going to the air shows and stuff. But it never occurred to me that, one, you know, I could ever fly, or that, you know, a warbird would ever be something in my reality. And it wasn't until years later that, I was successful in business and still going to the air shows and have the airplane models on the shelves in my office. And that and my business partner at the time kind of put a controller magazine in front of me that had a Mustang for sale. And he says, we're going to buy a Mustang, because he saw it as a tax write-off. But I know you're into these things. I'm going, yeah, crazy. And then I'm saying, wait a minute, I can do this. And it just kind of started from there. And then the first Mustang that we got.
I just happened to have it for sale.
Yeah.
That was the controller magazine.
And I went up to Minot, to the Dakota Terrier Museum, to check out the plane. And I knew nothing about it. It's other than seeing them at air shows and all that stuff and all the books and things. But they take me out to the museum, and they say, well, Warren Peach is out by the plane. You want to ride? And I go, absolutely. You got to be kidding me. And so we walk out, and there he is on the wing, you know, in his flight suit, and they put a parachute on me and get me set in the back and put the headset on, plug in the intercom, and the first words I hear over the intercom is Warren Peach going, so, do you like roller coaster rides? And I kind of go, oh, no.
This is how it starts, right?
That's how it starts.
He's like a drug dealer with this
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, the first ride's free. The
it was, one. No, it was, he already had this all planned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're all plans. He took me up, and he thrashed that thing, and I just had a blast. And anyway, and he got the hook, you know, pretty well set in my mouth, And it just went on from there.
But
and,
for you, it was business. It was business that led you into this.
Well, it was having the resources to actually realize that I could really...
A lifelong admiration for the equipment and the opportunity.
And the stories, that I could actually become a part of it.
For a young person listening to this, go out and be a successful business owner and develop something great, and you too can be in this position. Because we need people. We need successful people in this
and
business.
And that is side of the story. The other side of the story is I couldn't have been here without Bruce. You know, I couldn't have been at this stage without Bruce doing it. But the other thing is you know, I went to the airport and never left.
You know, you and Kent, your brothers.
Pretty common story, it really is.
Goodness.
You know, and so that enabled me to get enough experience and enough stuff that, you know, I had been granted the use of Dakota Kid by Dr. Reichert and flew it in air shows for a while and stuff. So that kind of got me into that and bought a TBM as an entry-level Warbird for, you know, at the time, they were very inexpensive. And so... So, you know, there's kind of a couple different ways to do it. And I think a wonderful partnership is this one. I think the partnership between him and I,
you talked about, you know, being on one side of the fence or the other. It's like, Warren kind of opened up the gate, so I had the resources to then step across and go on the other side of the fence.
I think it's wonderful, though.
It's been great.
Well, I asked that question because there's so many young folks that don't have any idea. They don't know what they need to do. And so if you're listening to this, there's lots of ways to get involved in Warbirds. Obviously, one of the best, though, is to go out and find something that you're passionate about, be very successful at it, and then come across the fence, or be like Warren and never leave the airport. It's two sides of the same coin.
Go to the local airport and start sweeping floors and helping people. And you know what I tell guys is, like the museum. People go, "Well, I'd like to help at the museum." Well, I said, you know, it's not all wrenching and it's not all flying. There's an awful lot of toilet cleaning and sweeping floors.
I was going to say, Bernie does a lot of that other stuff too. You know?
But if you're around here every day, somebody's going to need help someday working on an airplane. They're going to be on a ladder and they're going to ask you to go run for a tool. And the next thing you know, you're going to be on the ladder on the other side of the engine watching them do what they do. And then they're going to say, "Well, here, hold this while you're there." And that's the way you work up into it. You don't get to walk in the first day and pull the heads and banks off of a Merlin. That's not the way it works. You stand there and you're a gopher for a while.
But just showing up's the way to do it.
But you got
to
be there.
The thing is also, there's a lot of organizations like EAA, Commemorative Air Force and stuff that, you know, look, that's I got involved in the Commemorative Air Force when I first moved to Houston, like, you know, started going to their things. And if I had been younger and wasn't working full time and building a business, you know, I would have started showing up on the weekends and helping the projects they're working on, Commemorative Air Force.
Well, we're glad you showed up.
Yeah, and so
there's a lot of us that are glad you showed up.
You know, there are some organizations like that kids can and younger people can just, you know, get involved in that really where they can meet people that just will embrace them and suck them in, just like this guy did to me.
I think it's a great story and just a great friendship that the two of you bonded together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for sitting down with us and hanging out for a few minutes. I know you got a presentation to run into, so we'll let you get up and run out of there. But I got to ask, any chance of the T-Craft coming back? Probably my favorite air show.
I flew a couple shows in it last summer, and there is.
One of the best.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I mean, you know, I built that thing when I was in high school. I started it and I finished it when I was 20, and I flew my 45th air show season in it last summer. So it's been a really good friend. That's been a good airplane and a good friend. It enabled me to meet a lot of people.
One of my favorites to watch. Yeah. Warren Peach and Bruce Eames, thanks for sitting down with us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more here from the National Warbird Operators Conference on Warbird Radio right after this. Glad you're here.
This is Warbird Radio.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And welcome back to Warbird Radio. We're coming to you from the National Warbird Operators Conference here in Dallas, Texas. Had a great talk there with Warren Peach and with Bruce Eames. But I got to tell you, they wouldn't have the look if it weren't for our friends at Cockpit USA. Scott Kleiman, former fighter pilot from the United States Air Force, flew F-16s. He flies Warbirds. Got a big museum family. And a flight jacket company. Welcome to the show, Buster.
Good to be here, Matt. Great to see you, man.
I remember when you were on the Viper demo team back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, going to air shows, having fun. But you've got this whole thing that I don't think anybody really realizes, Cockpit USA, where you make A2 jackets on a very large scale. At one point, is it back in the family that you're making them for the federal government?
Absolutely. We just actually finished, going into our third, fourth year of the last contract for the Air Force contract. Actually.
You're making flight jackets.
So, 2024. And, we'll see what happens next if we get the next one.
Okay. All right. Making flight jackets great again. Buster Klein. Yeah. Scott Klein. Love it. Okay. So let's talk about this. Cockpit USA. A lot of people know your product. They've seen it, all over the internet and all in the catalogs. But this is a family business.
Yep. Absolutely. It's actually, we're in our 50th year this year.
And you're starting to get more involved in this.
Yeah. So it's family owned and with my involvement, combat veteran owned, big sticking point now these days. Once a customer, now the maker, wearing it, right. for 28 years.
You got one on right now.
I got mine on right now.
What is the difference in your product and say the other ones? I mean, is it the leather? Is it the provenance of having it made by the Kleiman family? What is it?
When my dad started the company 50 years ago, it started out of pure passion. I was a collector going into it, obviously a fledgling warbird guy, actually, even back then with the Stearman. Just was wearing the stuff around at air shows, whether it was a vintage A2 or a vintage G1. And a lot of guys, it was kind of coming back into play that they were kind of heritage pieces and people, it was not always easy to find a good condition vintage one.
Yeah.
And so people started asking about, hey, where can I get a new one? And so my dad decided to make that his passion project and developed it into a business, obviously starting as Avarex back in the day with the cockpit catalog and then evolving into Cockpit USA as the whole brand.
What did he do before this?
He was a lawyer by trade.
Yeah, which is a good skill to have.
Yeah, he was a lawyer by trade and didn't enjoy doing that. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes.
And made a passion is his business.
And now you're following in this family tradition after a career in the Air Force?
Yeah, I was fortunate to have a very long career flying F-16s. Towards the end of it, I realized that I needed to start looking towards the future and actually had a buddy who loved the products and was also actually was a warbird pilot, not military, but civilian guy. And he kind of was actually the motivator and got me into the business to come in and start working in the business and started slow, just started helping out, kind of advising and working on small projects, hooking actually warbird operators and some of the airshow teams with customized jackets and team jackets and things like that. And then I just started to take it on and started to kind of run with it. And got into the rebranding and the marketing aspect of it. I was very fortunate to actually get a crash course in that because one of my duties and where I met many of you all over the years was as the public affairs marketing officer for Viper East initially and then into Viper demo team in 2015.
With America's coolest command.
Yeah, absolutely. ACC.
Yeah. There you go.
And was able to kind of translate some of those learned skills and, again, work that into, this was all transitioning from the old days of paper catalogs into websites and into digital media and social media, to get the word out there and start advertising and getting the word out there. And next thing you know, I'm actually like now full blown involved and helping design, make jackets, work as a liaison with military contracts and purchases and direct to unit purchases. And 'cause that's something we actually do is a lot of units come directly to us and get jackets, not just the issue jackets. And so it's been a pretty dynamic business, but the cool thing is that's not all we do. We're definitely, we have a commercial aspect and we sell variants of all the jackets as well as not just flight, but, motorcycle and work jackets and heritage pieces that we've taken and whether they're replicas or whether they're, not to say reimagined, but let's just say repurposed into more functional for today's person or today's man or woman.
What are you saying, Scott? Are you saying you're turning into the Duluth Trading Company.
I guess so.
Of flying jackets.
I guess so. Taking flight jackets and vintage jackets and kind of making them great again, like
we,
you said.
Yeah, we have a joke around here at Warbird Radio that if your flight suit is twice that of your girlfriend or boyfriend's age, you might be a warbird pilot.
Yeah.
There's a few of us that are a little calorie enhanced these days, and but you're making them for the modern man. You're making them for the modern woman. Whatever you need, you got to visit Cockpit USA and check this stuff out because it really is just second to none. I want to get into.
And by the way, just then you asked, and I didn't actually directly answer it. The big thing is, unlike a lot of other retailers or makers, we are all made in the USA.
Well, I wanted to get into that. That's what I was actually going to bring up, is where are these things made? But then also, since you've already answered that, what are you excited about coming out in 2025? What are you working on?
We're actually kind of, we got some great projects going on, some great special projects for some of the airshow teams and some of the units and some personal projects. I'm working with maybe a certain gentleman named FEMA on a cool jacket for him, celebrating the Viper demo team, working on some other projects. Potentially, hopefully, we can put those together and supporting a lot of the entities. Like, we were a sponsor of ICAST, and that's something we're really proud of, and being part of the industry there. But I think in this 50th anniversary year, we're going to kind of get back to our roots, and we're coming out with some kind of like bringing back some of the more original pieces. And as I said, we've kind of developed pieces that had a little more modern functionality. But I think the cool thing is we're going to kind of get back to our roots and bring back some, basically make some good made in the USA kind of replicas of the vintage pieces and some real historical pieces there. And trying to make them unique in the sense that it's not just going to be a replica, but it's going to be, I use the adage, authenticity is not just about the hardware or some of the details, although it's an important aspect of it. It's also the soul of the product, right?
Right.
And the fact that it'll be made here. I mean, our office is within 2 miles of our office. There's at least three of the original makers don't exist anymore. But people don't realize that. I mean, those jackets
right
are made
right
there in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts,
right,
among others. So, really excited about kind of doing that. It's kind of our little capsule for 2025.
So for Christmas this year, you need to get your dad and your mom a little counter that says how many fly jackets you've made, and it just keeps going. So
the ticker,
this year, 1,200,000. I'm sure you know the number because to be that involved in it, you've got to know the number. But let's switch gears here. We're going to go from Cockpit USA over to the museum because your family has some incredible, incredible airplanes that are still there at the museum. Tell folks about the museum.
Well, I think that's an interesting aspect and kind of a good segue. I mean, I think of anyone that has a passion and has built a business around that, I think we're the only ones that actually kind of transfer that into actually preserving the legacy, preserving the history, not just in, say, the flight jacket, but we've actually put that into our, all our heart into being one of the, thinking for the great word here, but one of the keepers of, American treasures, and that being the Warbirds.
Hap Arnold's B-25.
Yep. We have, one of the oldest B-25 still flying. Actually, right. It's the oldest B-25 in existence, but it's still flying. We've got a P-40, we've got a Mustang there, we've got the Avenger, we've got, Waco and trainers and T-6s and also some great airplanes on loan. I mean, one of the unique things about us is we were lucky to be able to find a home at Republic Airport, and the history behind Republic Aviation speaks for itself. Obviously, Fairchild, Grumman, Republic all started where we are now based out of. And to be able to have some of those airplanes, and thankfully to the Air Force Museum for lending some of those airplanes to us, because we have literally, F-84s, F-105, we even have an A-10 on static, and to be able to kind of keep the history alive and, share that history with all our visitors and the next generation. Obviously, it's all about, educating the next generation and kind of keeping that spirit alive. And in the case of the Warbirds, obviously keeping them flying, because it's getting tougher, but that's our job.
We got that charge this morning, and they were lucky, dude, didn't we?
That remotivated me, to be honest with you. That was a great speech. Lucky's an amazing individual, and I'm so glad even at nearly 103, he can literally present like some of the best I've seen. And it was so motivating to hear him speak. It actually kind of reinvigorated me in some ways to be able to understand that our duty isn't just to fly the airplanes and take them to air shows and stuff, but it's to make sure we tell the story. And being at Republic, actually, ironically, is so important because not only do we tell the story of the plane and the pilots and the maintenance crews, but also those that made it. So, New York.
American industry.
Yeah, American, Arsenal and Democracy. Within 10 square miles, we had, Grumman right next door in Bethpage. You had Republic where we're at in Fairchild. You had Curtis just up the road in a small form, Buffalo being the main one. And then you also had Sperry over at Islip. And eventually
taking
over
gyros there. And all kind of stuff. Over
exactly.
There.
Yeah, and then you actually had West Hampton, Army Airfield / Air Force Base and Calverton where they made the F-14 Tomcat, so that area as you know, as a museum already claims that title, but they use, you know, Cradle of Aviation, and the area is very unique in that that history.
Well, I appreciate you sitting down. I told you 10 minutes when you came over here. We've gone 10 minutes and 30 seconds, Scott.
No, I appreciate the time.
You got to come back because I know you got a conference to run into, but listen, thanks for spending some time with us. Tell folks how they can get a hold of you and how they can buy their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Just go online, www.cockpitusa.com, and we got some great products out there. Again, made in the USA, so that's the greatest part about it.
Now, there's no promo code for Warbird Radio listeners yet.
Not just
gotta
yet.
I was just thinking that. We got to get on the stick here and figure something out. I'm a horrible business person, Scott. Thankfully, you're not, and you're making great flying jackets. Cockpit
well, I appreciate
USA.
That, man.
Scott Kleiman, thanks for being here. Are we going to see you at an air show here pretty soon?
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting a little more time to do that nowadays since I just retired. So.
There you go. All right. Scott Kleiman, my thanks to Scott. My thanks to Warren Peach and to Bruce Seams for coming by. We'll be talking to you. By the way, if you've not already signed up for the newsletter at warbirdradio.com, please do that. Like and follow our social media. I think all we have right now is a Facebook page, which is... I got to get on the stick. There's a lot of things I got to start doing. But anyway, we'll get back to it. But yeah, go like that and... see you on the email, and of course, we'll see you next time right here on Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.